The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So for me, I've learned to kind of live in a cycle of grief, lament, hurt, sadness, and also hope and joy and trust and faith. And hope, yes. Hope is not a fixed point you reach. That's not a thing. Hope is the living force that propels us forward.
Catherine Wolfe shares how she found the most valuable treasures in the darkest of times.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me. And Tammy, it's great that you get to see our guest today, because Catherine Wolfe has been with us many times on Life Today. And just to give you a little background, when she was 26, back in 2008, she suffered a brain stem stroke that changed her life forever. Mm-hmm. Since then, she's faced a lot of difficulties. 2013, she had an unrelated aneurysm and surgery for that. Mm-hmm. 2017, she was diagnosed with multiple life-threatening vertebral artery dissections. I don't even know what that means. It doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good.
2019, she was diagnosed with an ultra-rare neurovascular disorder. And I say all that just to set up a little bit of the things that she has walked through, because she has a new book, and it is called Treasures in the Dark. And this is someone who has faced some darkness, but she's such a light, Tammy.
Oh my goodness, Randy. I'm so happy to be here today. Just as you said, I've not had the chance to ever meet her personally, but I'm aware of her story. And it's one of those stories where you just think, how could one person take one more thing and turn it into good? How can you find hope in your suffering? How can you find light in the darkness of your life? And it's just constant, 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 but she is such a light.
Yeah, and I'm excited for you to meet her. Would you welcome Catherine? Great to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Guys, thank you for having me.
you roll out here in your wheelchair, and you're like beaming.
Oh.
And when you look at you've been through more than most people, unfortunately, ever have to go through. Where does this hope and all of your hurting come from?
I mean, my hope is in the Lord, and my joy is in the Lord, and I am so grateful for that joy, but I never want a joyous personality and just my natural MO to make other people feel like, wait, I don't feel joy and I don't feel that way. Yeah. When the reality is I do have sorrow and joy existing in the same story. But I've just seen too much of the goodness of God in the land of the living to not be forever overwhelmed at just the greatness of all that is my life and the life to come.
Yeah, you know, Catherine, many of us that write books, I think we sit down because there's something going on in our life usually. There's something that God is doing in our lives that we're walking through, we want to write about so that we can help other people. And so I pick up your book and it says Treasures in the Dark.
Right.
And I think, what is going on and what was going on in your life that made you write this book at this moment, finding treasures basically in the dark of your life?
Since the very earliest of days after the stroke, I have so clearly seen that Isaiah 45:3, the passage from which this title is based, that the Lord says, I will give you hidden treasure in the darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am God, the God of Israel, the God who summons us by name. Mm. So I have seen in my life, in all the darkness, that if you have to go into the deep darkness in your struggling story, and we all do, we all go in and out of darkness, you might as well get the treasure.
Yeah,
you might as well get the riches. Riches that God has for you to get. I like to say, if you're going through hell, keep going, but go slow enough to get the treasure. Put it in your backpack. Keep it the rest of your life. Let it inform how you live. Like, don't waste the pain. What's it all for if you can't get the treasure?
That's good, yeah.
So I suspect it's a little easier to say that on a day. Like today, how are you doing physically?
You're really sweet. I'm doing great.
Good. Mm. What about on the days where you're not doing so great?
Well, exactly. Can I say the same things? You need to marinate in the darkness and take a minute to process what is happening in your life. The Bible calls us clearly to lament, to recognize the process of like taking our broken lives and beginning to put the pieces back together and finding God in the midst of the darkness.
Yes.
So I'm a big fan of lament and letting that do its work in you and then carrying that with you. You know, they say you never move on from what you've been through. That's not a thing. That you can, in time, move forward. That's a thing, but you carry it with you. You don't move on. So for me, I've learned to kind of live in a cycle of grief, lament, hurt, sadness, and also hope and joy and trust and faith. And, you know, hope is not a fixed point you reach. That's not a thing. Hope is the living force that propels us forward into the ongoing hope with ongoing hurt happening and ongoing hope happening and ongoing healing. And it's this cycle where we can find a place of hope even within the hurt and begin to heal. This book is, the subtitle is 90 Reflections on Finding Bright Hope Hidden in the Hurting. And the notion is, I know too much to write a linear devotional book where it's just for like, we're doing great here, let's write a devotional about it. That this reflection guide, I call it, not a devotional, has 30 entries for the hurting, 30 for the healing, 30 for the hoping, and it can kind of be a choose-your-own-adventure thing. That you're like, maybe one day I'm full on hurting, but maybe one day I'm healing, and I can sort of take things. I'll stop talking now. Sorry, guys.
I want you to talk more, because I think a lot of people may be in a situation like this, and they need to hear this, because when we have loss, when we have pain, tragedy, betrayal, all those negative things, we have a tendency, I think sometimes, especially in the church, to deny that we're going through it. Or we can kind of go the other direction and resent that we're going through it.
Right.
And, you know, blame others, blame God. You're suggesting that we face it.
Right.
We admit it and sort of openly, like, let God in on the secret, right?
Absolutely.
You know? Yes. So how does that set the stage for healing?
Oh my goodness, I'm overcome that you're asking this, because I read something the other day that said, it isn't about letting go. That's not a thing. It's about letting in, letting in the sorrow, letting in all of the hardship so you can process it and appropriately grieve the losses. Where was that? It was so good. It was my Catherine Wolfe. Just kidding. I would love to take credit for it, that letting go isn't real either, any more than moving on is. Those aren't real. That it's about processing, and then you can move forward. That in order to not stay there, you must start there. And that's, I think, the key is begin to feel and wrestle. God, did you make a mistake with my life where you turned around and missed out that my life is blown up and all the specifics are in this story that I never wanted, including never driving a car again, never walking on my own, living with a paralyzed face, and 10,000 other things. And yet, Lord, could I begin to identify that maybe you've given me this? Maybe somehow you've chosen me for this life? And can I redefine and reframe everything to an upside-down kingdom lens? That's our opportunity.
How do people, how did you, I just look at you and your life speaks for itself. You are an inspiration. to so many people. Can I just say that I hate that you've had to suffer so much? I wish life were different for you. I wish life were different for me.
Yeah.
I wish life were different for the person watching today that is just overwhelmed and struggling and trying to find treasures in your own dark season. But Catherine, I wonder, like, the questions when we ask, like, the what ifs.
Right.
You talk about that, and it means a lot to me because I believe you. In order for us to find healing, we've got to start
right.
first. Like, I had to set healing aside for a second. That'll come. I know that it's there. I believe that it's there, but I've got to process what I've lost.
Right.
I've got to process the grief. I've got to process all the unknowns, and I've got to go through that. And like Randy said, allow myself to go through this with my community, with my family, with counseling, through pastors, whatever I need. I've got to find a way to navigate through this. Healing is waiting for me on the other side. But even through that journey, as we go through that, trying to process through that, I think all of us have stopped and have said before, what if?
Right.
What if this could have been different? And why did God allow? Why did God allow this to happen in my life?
Right.
How do you speak to that?
Oh gosh, I mean, you have no idea how much that has haunted me. I have a pinnacle what if story that I've only started sharing recently. It's in this new book. I haven't really talked about it before because I never wanted to shame the doctors that might read this book and know the story. But for some reason, I'm like, nobody knows what hospital, nobody knows specifics. But when I was 19 years old, I went to the doctor because I started getting dizzy, and they diagnosed me incorrectly without making eye contact and sliding a prescription across the table to me with vertigo medication. And 7 years later, when my brain exploded, they knew it wasn't that. They knew that had I been given an MRI as a 19-year-old, they would have seen the mass on my brain and that it would need to be removed. And then a whole nother set of what ifs come into play. Would I have operated? What if I hadn't had it removed and, you know, move forward in life with this AVM? Would I have married? Would I have had a baby? What if, what if, what if? I mean, we all play this terrible game of the what ifs in life. And I think all of our question must be in our tragedy is, what if God spared me from a perfect life? What if God spared me from having no knowledge of what it means to suffer this way while on earth? That's a pretty crazy, provocative what if question, but I think it bears asking, is what if all of this and none of this would have happened? I mean, it's crazy.
Do you ever ask, you know, after especially the first stroke, any point, the things you've gone through, you ever ask, I mean, is it possible for me, Catherine, to have a good life?
Oh, gosh, yes. But you know what's so crazy? I've kind of done a deep dive into the whole notion of the good life. First of all, the good life, for instance, the word good and the notion of Psalm 84:11, like no good thing does he withhold from those walking uprightly with him. How can that be true when our lives have been ravaged? Mm-hmm. How can good things only be here? God withholds no good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps it's because, as a theologian from the 1600s, Sir Richard Baker says, it's because the good things are not things at all. The good things of God are peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, the fruition of his presence in this life, and the assurance of his face in the next.
Yeah.
These things are the truly good things of God that can never be taken. And they're nothing that the physical world could ever touch. And that is a word for your listeners going through the ringer. Like, good things are not absent from you, friends. They are in your story because they can never be taken from you. They're inside of you when you know Jesus. But the other answer to your question that is so important to say is that pre-stroke, I thought, I have the good life. Even if I never thought that that way or articulated it that way, I was living the hashtag blessed life, pre-stroke, wasn't I? Yeah. And yet, so clearly we see in the Beatitudes and throughout the Bible, the blessed life is the life poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. How do we make sense of that in the context of the charmed before the stroke life? Yeah. How do you reconcile that with the gospel? So what is the good life? Well, pretty clearly our faith tells us it's not what we think it is in 2024 in our modern world.
Are you living the good life?
Absolutely. The short answer is absolutely. I'm living the dream. And guess what? I get to decide how I feel about my story.
That's right.
And nobody else does. It is so powerful. We cannot control what happens to us in life. Control is an illusion. But what we can control completely and totally is how we respond to what has happened.
Yes.
How we move forward, how we narrate it to our children, how we process it and see the goodness of God in the story.
One thing that, you know, your life demonstrates is the choice that we all have, but we see clearly with you. We can focus on what we can't do.
Yeah.
Or we can focus on what we can do.
Of course.
What difference has it made for you to focus more on what you can do than on the things you can't?
100%. I'm not crying about what I can't do. Mm. You know, I can't do a whole lot. And I have a hand that doesn't work. I mean, I don't drive a car. I'm deaf in one ear. I have a lot I can't do. But the list is way too long of all the amazing things that I can do. And thank you, Lord, I'm in touch with the fact it's not about my capabilities.
Yes.
It's not about what I can do that ultimately matters. It's who I am.
Yes.
And actually, to my precious children, that is what matters.
That's
mothering
right.
is not with the hands, but with the heart. And the things that my kids and my people, my family friends are getting from who I am is the glorious, breathtaking inheritance I'm giving to my kids that has nothing to do with my abilities at all.
I think also, Randy, a follow-up question to that that I had to ask myself as well, and I'm sure, Catherine, you have as well, and maybe any of us that can be in those places of just like suffering and just what do I do with this? And I think I've had to ask myself many times also, what do I have rather than what don't I have? And even like your life, Catherine, you could probably list all the things that you don't have, but if you focus on that, we will miss right now in this moment what you do have in your life.
Totally.
And to focus on that, God has given you this life. You have your children, you get to mother them and love them. They get to have their mama. You're married, you get to have your husband. He gets to have you. There's so much that you've lost, but there's so much that you still have. So our focus should be on that. Otherwise, we'll be so distracted with the disappointments and the expectations that are not met in our life that we will miss out on all of the great things that God has for us right now.
Absolutely. I like to say that what we must do is expect more of God and less of this world. That's really where the joy is. I'm not living for this world anyway, so I'm going to expect more of God and let Him overwhelm. And that's how when we do the opposite and we expect more of this world and less of God, we are crushed. The space between is where it doesn't go well. But when I do this, it's going awesome. Psalm 16:6 is true that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. This right here is a glorious inheritance.
It's beautiful.
Wow. Catherine truly is a treasure in some serious darkness. And listen, I don't know what you're going through, but if you want someone to pray with you, if you'll pick up that phone, we've got someone available all the time that will encourage you, that will pray with you, that will help you find that treasure in your darkness. So call that number right now. We do what we do to bless you. And we also ask you to bless others. And we can do both today. There are some people in great need, some people in some serious darkness. And we can reach out and be that treasure to them. And when you participate in this opportunity, if you will request Catherine's book, Treasure in the Dark, we would love to send it to you to encourage you. But most of all, we want you to be a part of encouraging others. Watch this and see how.
For the people of Liberia, each day is a struggle due to the lack of clean drinking water. With limited options, the people are forced to drink water that can bring illness or even death. Yet, there is no other choice but to drink it and live, or sometimes die with the outcome. Melvin Tan is a father all too well acquainted with the very real consequences of drinking unclean water.
Being here in Liberia and listening to Melvin's story, and he had dreams and hopes for his son. And to go away to work and come home to a son that's gone, and knowing that it was because of the water that he had drank, that there was no other option, it leaves me with, Lord, how can we help?
Together, we can be the answer to Melvin's hopes and prayers. Join us in giving water for life.
I've gone on so many of these trips, and I've always been in that same place that John was at, leaving me in a place of, what can I do to help? I sit here with you today again, and I say, God, what can I do to help today? What do these people need today? I can't imagine how that father must have felt just going away for a few hours and coming back and your son is dead. Because of water, because of what he drank in that small window of time that changed everything for that family. What can I do to help? What can you do to help? What can we do to help? Is there even a solution? Is there anything we can do? Yes. Yes, there is. We know a way. We have been doing it for years. We can go in there right now and drill them a well that will last them for 70 years of their life. Water for life. We could bring this to them. We could bring them hope. We could bring them life. We could bring them Jesus. And I love that he's given us this opportunity to step in and to be the difference, to make a difference. So if God has blessed you today, I'm going to challenge you to be that answer today for this family and for so many other families around the world right now. Randy, it's something that we get to do together, and I know that it changes lives, so many lives.
It does, and it's so simple. And, you know, that story right there that we saw as a father, it hurts. Mm-hmm. I have four children. And I can't imagine. And you wonder, you know, if you're watching, it's hard to comprehend sometimes the way many people in this world have to live. They drink whatever water they have because it's all that they have. And they may be fine for, you know, years in the case of that one boy that ended up dying. But mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. life is fragile.
Yes.
Something can turn and life is gone. Mm. We have the answer. The answer is, as Tammy said, drilling a well, going down deep enough, deeper than they can dig with their own hands, and getting that clean water. An average well costs $4,800. That's based on the 350 wells we drill across 20 nations. If you can provide one, you can prevent others from dying. Many others, in fact. On average, a well will serve about 1,000 people, which is phenomenal. That's 1,000 stories that we won't have to tell of loss. Many of you can give $144 that will provide clean drinking water for 30 people for basically a lifetime, on average 70 years. Maybe you can give $48. It may not sound like a lot, but it's huge, because $48 will give clean drinking water to 10 people. I only wish that we could have given that man's son clean drinking water before it was too late. Mm-hmm. There are many others that need us to do something now. Mm-hmm. Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. Let's tell a story of life, no more stories of death.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You really can make a difference. You can make such an impact in someone's life. You can be the treasure in their dark, to borrow the title of Catherine's book. And if you request this today, when you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. We would love to send it to you. What a blessing, Tammy.
Yeah, it's a total blessing. I believe this book will really help a lot of people, Randy. It, not just through Catherine, but the Lord will help you uncover some great treasures in your life where you just feel so dark and you don't know how to get out. Let us help you. Let the Lord help you with that, Catherine. I love you. I adore you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm standing
you.
With you, my
love
sister
you.
In Christ. Thank
Amen.
You so much for being here today and for pouring your life out into so many people. Just
oh,
so love you.
What
you inspire
a blessing.
Me. Yes.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank y'all for having me.
We're so glad. And thank you for being with us. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Dr. Don Cobert addresses the impact of toxic emotions on our overall health and helps us get into the spiritual health zone tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.